Welcome in, 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. And we have a busy Friday show lined up for you. We've got the usual Friday guest, Buck Rising, who will join us this hour. We'll get to him momentarily. Also coming up, Mark Mariani from 4:30 until 5:30. I'm working out of schedule here. Chris Lowe covers college football on a national basis with ESPN.com. He's got a lot to talk about at 3:30, certainly. Titans president and CEO Burke Nihil will introduce him to the market at 4 o'clock, his first radio interview. We look forward to that. And I Call BS at 5:30, and stay tuned. We've allotted two segments for that normally Friday scheduled deal because Dawn is on fire. She's hot.
That makes me sound bad. On a Friday. I am. I listed like 8 things I wanted to call BS on yesterday, though. This is what happens when you're, super pregnant.
You are ready to roll. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. The numbers, as always, I'll go ahead and throw them out there if you want to talk Titans football. That is what we are doing specifically this hour with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports. That's 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. Buck Rising, presented by Buddy Allen Carpet One. You can check them out, buddyallencarpet1.com. Buck, what's up? How are you, man?
Wait a second. We want to start? Hold on, Buck. Hold on. Don't we want to start by calling BS on Buck on the Vrabel press conference where you couldn't get your Zoom to freaking work and actually, ask a question twice when it was your turn? Hi, Buck. Happy Friday. Welcome in.
This is some awful Friday energy from Dawn. I was all hyped up. Brent is getting me going. It's like a drill sergeant just kind of calling you to attention. And then Dawn comes in here and just beats me over the head with my incompetence on Wednesday's Zoom call with Mike Vrabel. Hello, friends. It is good to see everybody. I am ready to talk about whatever it is that we have in front of us, and I am ready to relive my shame that I contend it's like the dog ate my homework excuse. Nobody's going to believe me, but I'm going to die on this hill.
For those that don't know, the head coach had a media availability session this weekend. And before we get into what was said there, I've got to ask you, they came to you, Buck, for a question. And JT, this is what happened.
Facing and I think dealing with the distraction very well.
Buck, you there?
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, it's so long.
Teron.
What's going on, Coach? Hope all is well.
And Teron was ready.
It's
painful, isn't it? Wait. JT, he's got something special for you. Hit that one more time, JT.
Facing and I think dealing with the distraction very well.
Buck?
No.
Buck, you there?
I love Robbie with the Buck. Are you there?
Teron.
By the way,
Teron.
By the way, that's one of the few times we've ever heard Robbie Bourne's voice on this show. So that, for those wondering, that's Robbie Bourne. Media relations, and he was mediating that press session. I thought he gave you ample time to jump in there. What happened?
He gave me so much time. Here is what happened. And by the way, I do not appreciate JT berating me earlier in the week. He just sends me 3 texts consecutively. Buck ? Buck, are you with us? Get ready for some fun on Friday. This was 3 days ago. This man has been scheming up. I hate you, JT. No, it was terrible. I swear I started the day. I always have to. I have to do everything on Zoom now. We all have to do everything on Zoom now. Yeah. And so we were testing my internet connection because I had to podcast a tape earlier in the day. My Wi-Fi was messing up. I thought it was just my Wi-Fi specifically. I got on the Zoom call with Vrabel, with me and 35 of our closest media friends, and my Wi-Fi continued to crap out over the course of him answering questions. So when Robbie goes, I didn't hear anything after, I didn't hear Buck, I didn't hear my name, everything just froze, and I said, oh my God, please don't let it be me. Please don't let me be this person this week. Please, God, after all of the shame that I have been burying people with on social media who have botched previous Zoom calls, please don't let this be my time for justice.
A total of 11.8 seconds is how much time Robbie gave you.
God, it's excruciating. So I texted Robbie. I said, please, if he has time, come back and pray this thing holds up. And they did so, and it worked out okay. But, yeah, that was a tough go of things there for a minute.
Ah, well, you know, I mean, if you're in it long enough, things happen. Now, we were carrying that live, so that happened in real time on 104.5 The Zone. So there you go. Well, you know, Vrabel actually had some interesting things to say during that media session, and once everybody got rolling, and once everything gets rolling with regard to players on the field, training camp, things like that, I thought it was interesting that not that he wants to entertain having another team come visit them, but he mentioned one, maybe two teams. And so I think that kind of tells you what he thinks about the work that they get done, Buck, when another team comes onto the practice field with them.
That's something that they've learned from the Patriots. Bill Belichick has been doing joint training camp practices with other teams for quite some time now and has explored in previous years having joint training camp practices with other teams. It's a great way to self-scout against other competition. It's a great way to check out who may be available, obviously, when these teams pare down their rosters from 90 to 53. And there's a lot of teams on their preseason schedule that was just made official today that make sense for them to want to have joint training camp practices with. I saw the Athletics Giants reporter talking about the idea that he would believe that the Giants and Titans may have something in the works. I think the Buccaneers make a lot of sense with the connections that they have down there, both Vrabel and John Robinson. So they are proceeding virtually with everything that they can with business as usual. And to this point, outside of the idea that there will be no rookie mini camp and that they're obviously not all in the city of Nashville, these are voluntary workout sessions, as Vrabel is always quick to remind us when we ask him for essentially role, who's skipping out. So he's not keeping tabs on who's attending these virtual workouts, how many other players besides Jonnu Smith and Ryan Tannehill are actually working out together using social distancing practices, of course. But the one thing that he did say that was of the, I guess, the most noticeable answer to me when he's talking about the idea that teams may be able to open up their facilities at different times because of the way that states are legislating their individual reopenings and how that would affect competitive advantage if every NFL team was not able to go back at the same time. He kind of gave voice to the idea that he doesn't think that should be a thing, that the NFL has been unbelievably competitive, in his words, and if you affect the essence of that, the competition element of the NFL, by allowing teams to get a competitive advantage, getting in their facilities early, this is something that they're going to have to navigate because they may not get their way with this. There's probably not a perfect solution.
Yeah.
Although I feel like Goodell has been pretty vocal about trying to keep it even playing field. If one team can't practice Always. Their facility open, yeah. then nobody does. He's been pretty good from that standpoint. The other thing that stood out to me from Vrabel's comments, and I thought he gave a great answer, an insightful answer, was on AJ Brown and how he can improve and what he needs to do to be better, because I took the comment, basically he said, yeah, you know, there's things at the top of the route we can work on, clean those up. Talked about using his hands will put him in a better position to play more physical. And I took that as he didn't play near as physical as he is capable as a wide receiver last year, that that's something that we're going to be able to see a little bit more of, which kind of got me excited, Buck.
Mike has a way of, I don't want to call it targeting because I feel like people freak out in a super sensitive culture when you talk about targeting. But Mike picks on guys individually, specifically, that he's trying to get more out of. Jayon Brown got a lot of that at Mike Vrabel's first year with the Tennessee Titans as the head coach and trying to bring out the most in the player that they believe to have great potential. And these are the same kind of tactics. When people get on coaches or players for being uninteresting in press conferences, I understand it because there's a lot of coach speak that goes on in these things. But when you read the transcripts more often than not, and you find the way that even in trying to avoid an answer about something, Vrabel will give you really good details. He'll probably give you something on the front end that's meant to push you off of it and then give you really good detail on the back end of the answer. And a lot of times we find this to be the case. And I agree with you, Dawn. I think that they are going to try, as with all of their players, the way that they talk about it. I take Mike Vrabel at his word that he thinks he's going to be able to get a lot more out of this guy. And that's exciting if you're a Titans fan.
Three HL. Powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. So these Skype sessions that we do with people that are willing to and are able to do Skype sessions helps us in that we can see our guests. So we can see Buck Rising in his palatial estate with his studio over in North Nashville, which we love.
Yes.
But we tend to get more in depth in terms of what we talk about during breaks, and sometimes they spill over, and JT's like three, and there's like some cursing going on, and we all have to tell Babs.
No, there's never a cursing.
It's you. Dawn. See, this is the greatest indictment of the three of us and the four of us, five of us, when Mickey and JT and everybody is here together, which, by the way, we miss our friend Mickey this week.
Yes, we did.
it's such a better job that I do with you guys off of the air. I'm so much better off the air than I am on the air. And Dawn, who is very, very sweet and very in all settings and very professional and all of these things. In the break, this is Babs After Dark. This is what we need.
Unfiltered.
Dawn working blue. The world needs this. I think it should be a podcast. I don't want to give any away free ideas. But these are the things that I'm thinking about. I think the 3-minute commercial break should become podcasts.
Well, we could do Facebook Live and then have it presented by A to Z Sports. It won't cost all that much. We'll cut you a deal. No, that's a good idea. Hey, so the preseason schedule is out. By the way, again, we're talking specifically about the Titans this hour with Buck Rising from A to Z Sports, at Buck Rising on Twitter. Give him a follow. It'll change your life. At A to Z Sports on Twitter.
Dawn doesn't think so.
A to Z Sports.com on the internet. Again, yes, if you want in, 615-737-1045 is the number to talk Titans football. 615-737-1045. Preseason schedule is out. As of right now, they would be starting on August 15th. In Washington, the nation's capital, so we get a solid look at Dwayne Haskins, I guess, that weekend, Saturday, August 15th at 1 o'clock Central Time on News 2. Then the following week, the home opener for preseason, the New York Giants come to town, 7 o'clock night game on Saturday, August 22nd, again on News 2. In preseason week 3, back on the road at Tampa Bay, TB12 will not play in that game more than like four snaps. I don't know. The third
zero
week
tends, is the answer.
Well,
zero.
The third week tends to be the dress rehearsal. So if you're going to see him, maybe you see him that week as opposed to the others. I don't know. New team
or
also.
Like a
so
series. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. New team. Maybe you see him. Thursday, September 3rd. Chicago Bears come to town. The last time the Bears were here, they drank the city dry. I don't anticipate that happening for a preseason game, but you never know. People from Chicago are...
I think the Blackhawks were here the same week, right?
Maybe. But the people from Chicago are exuberant So I don't put anything past them. But that's the schedule. What do you think? At Washington, New York Giants at home, at Tampa Bay, Chicago at home.
I mean, what better way to make us all start complaining about preseason football again than this particular slate of preseason teams? Now, I mean, I don't know what you do with the preseason games. I think the preseason schedule, it's good to know because of the dates. Like, the dates matter more than any of the opponents, any, you know, whether they're here, whether they're on the road, any of these things, because it gives us an idea of when training camp will be and how things, if they stick to plan right now, will play out and how things will be adjusted moving forward with all the uncertainty that lies ahead still for football season. I think when we talked earlier about the idea that they will have these potentially one, if not two, joint training camp practices, the coaches and the players seem to get a lot more out of those than they do the actual scrimmages themselves. When you talk to Vrabel and to the players throughout the course of the week that they spend together, it's interesting to see how they adapt their own practices based on the other teams that they see and how they implement new things and keep things fresh conceptually to keep these guys on base. Now, again, we have no idea what a virtual training camp would look like. I don't even know if that's humanly possible, whether things remain the way that they are in the NFL extending a shutdown essentially of league facilities until the end of May. I look at this and I say, if you can get one joint training camp practice, you know what Tom Brady's practice habits are. I think it would benefit you from working with one of these other three teams, but I think Tampa Bay is most likely.
Speaking of Tampa Bay, I heard a story this week that talked about those joint practice sessions, and Greg Schiano, when he was at Tampa Bay, told his team to quit practicing and go watch the Patriots run their offense during a joint practice session. That's how crisp and clean those guys are, and we saw that last year. And for those that think that Tom Brady is just, you know, milk toast, puppy dogs and rainbows guy, he's all over people at practice, man.
Anybody really think that?
I think people do. People that aren't, you know, that don't pay that much attention to the NFL think that he's a good dude. And then you watch Michael Jordan and you see like how antagonistic he is with everybody. And you think Peyton Manning's not that way and you think Tom Brady's not that way. In reality, they kind of are.
I think so. I saw Brady all over SportsCenter because anytime he does anything at this point, there's such an absence of real sports in our lives, they'll just put Tom Brady on television. And he did a podcast, like a pop-up appearance on a podcast, his only other appearance outside of Howard Stern, with a longtime Jets fan who does radio on ESPN, Stu Gotts. He's one of the Stu Gotts' golfing buddies, plays with Tom Brady. They got him off the golf course to do a Skype interview. And Stu Gotts is a 20-year Jet fan who says, in seven completely mediocre minutes of talking to Tom Brady, I have totally erased the 20 years that I spent hating him as a fan of AFC East teams. I feel like Brady's kind of got a little bit of that charm that if you get the opportunity to be around him, or that, I don't know, there's kind of an awe in somebody the level of Tom Brady that is... throws things off in a way that you don't expect. They brought the circus to town for joint training camp practices last year, and I have never witnessed the kind of following around at a meaningless, not meaningless, but a Tuesday, August, week three of preseason joint training camp practice where people on the outskirts of St. Thomas Sports Park practice facility are just following Brady in the general vicinity of wherever he walks on the actual practice field. And chanting his name the entire time. I don't know. I feel like people, that level of fame kind of, I don't know. It's a weird way. People open themselves up more to it. So I kind of get what Brent's talking about.
Well, it's just everybody knows who he is. So anytime he does something and it ends up on Good Morning America, then you've got, you know, Sally and Antioch going, oh, there's Tom Brady. I love him. He's the nicest guy in the world.
My grandma hates Tom Brady.
in reality, he demands excellence, just like any competitor would.
In reality, he's a killer.
Yeah.
In reality, all these guys are insane people. When you're watching Michael Jordan just chewing on a cigar and swinging a bat, it looks like Al Capone. Unbelievable.
Buck Rising with us, talking Tides football, 615-737-1045. Buck, defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons, still working with the Titans trainers under rehab protocol. What percentage out of 100 would you assign to Big Jeff's health last season? I've heard 70 might be a good number, which is scary if true.
We spent a lot of time talking about, and I think that number is, you know, you hate to put, and coaches certainly wouldn't put percentages on things.
No, they won't. Mm-hmm.
Things, but when you talk to people around that situation last year, that seems to be a pretty accurate gauge of just how much he was able to do given the circumstances that he was working off of, and given, frankly, that there's still a learning curve, even as he came in and was hugely impactful in his first game. It's Ryan Tannehill's first start. It's week 7 against the Chargers, who are also vying to stay alive, and this ultimately led to their demise. Jeffrey Simmons was a force, whether it showed up in the box score or not, that you needed him to be for the Titans defense to maintain as the season wore on. This dude is a superhuman. He's really, it's crazy, because now that I'm getting like 4 and 5 years older than professional athletes, like now I feel old because they're actual babies coming into the league, and Jeffrey Simmons is 21, and he's just this man-child of a human being. And also, he wrecks Quentin Nelson on a regular basis in ways that make clips go viral of interior defensive line play. You got to be special to make stuff like that happen. It's going to be interesting to see how much faster he is, because he's still, as Vrabel mentioned, he still qualifies to be interacting with the Titans trainers. It's interesting that it was that the injury was still to the extent that he would qualify for this. And we've talked about this before. Mike's been very complimentary of Jeffrey in the way that he played through discomfort last year. They've been pretty open about that. Dean Pease said the same at the end of the year when he retired, just how much more injured this team was, given that they had all of the lengths that they had to go through and go on the road the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks in the postseason and in week 17. So Jeffrey Simmons, I'm fascinated by. I think that he's going to be something special. He was already something special. I want to see just how much more, though, he has left to give.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. Mickey will be back on Monday, and I will be out next week. So Don continues the musical chair host deal with 3HL. And meanwhile, Don is still here 35 weeks in, pounding the pavement.
Rocking it, baby.
Just rocking it. This is what you get for skipping out on an entire football season of Fridays with me, Dawn. Now you're stuck with me every weekend while the other two get to take a Friday off here and there. Justice.
I wouldn't want anything different.
Yes. So Buck Rising, at Buck Rising on Twitter, at A to Z Sports. And Buck is presented by Buddy Allen Carpet One. You can check them out, buddyallencarpet1.com. Great people. Zach and the crew are awesome, awesome people. All right. The Titans win total in Vegas is 8.5. They have gone 9-7 now 4 years in a row. The previous record for this franchise to go 9-7 was 2 years in a row. So, you know, they're head and shoulders above that mark. They're trying to set records here. By the way, quick note, Jeff Fisher in his 20 seasons of full season football never went 9-7. Not one time.
That's so great, because that's
amazing.
That's so perfect, because he gets hit with three things on a regular basis. And by the way, who is a better after sports life social media follow than Jeff Fisher right now? He is. I don't know if he actually runs his Twitter account, but shouts to the stash, because he's killing it.
He's got his normal Friday thing, which is great. He's got just the tip Tuesdays, which is unbelievable.
Oh my god.
And Jeff Fisher can pull that off, but he's got tips for you on Tuesday.
Which I can just imagine, because I know him and Coach Mack are boys. The yeah. idea of Coach Mack reading the idea that Jeff Fisher is doing just the Tip Tuesday, just snickering like an 8-year-old, because that's who those guys are. It's great. Okay, schedule talk though. Eight wins, nine and seven, never happening for Jeff Fisher.
Yes. So Jeff Fisher, 20 full seasons, he had 5 8-8s. Out of the 20 full seasons, 6 playoff teams, 6 winning seasons. So 11 of the 20 seasons, he either went 8-8 or had a winning season. And, you know, if you're having 6 winning seasons and you never had 9-7, those 6 were pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to talk to Burke Nihil, the new Titans president and CEO, I believe at 4 o'clock is when you guys said. This is a fascinating time for them, because this is truly the mark of stability for an organization. And actually, I've spent a lot of time talking about this and looking just kind of what they've done in the past 5 years. If you're talking about John Robinson heading into 3 for Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk as controlling owner, and now Burke Nihil is this new look regime for the Tennessee Titans, moving into a different generation of that franchise, and how positive the effects seem to be. Now, the record itself does not reflect that, but it's stability, if nothing else. In a league built for parity, they consistently win 1 more game or 2 more games than they lose, which is good. This is what you're looking for. You're just looking to build on each year, time after time. In the NFL, that's immensely hard, given the amount of turnover that happens. And with this particular Titans organization, they seem, or at least they have been, for the past 3 and 4 and 5 years, respectively, when you're talking about each of these individuals who's been placed into a position of leadership, they have built upon that past season. Now, you're looking for exactly what all their promotional stuff is talking about when you see these Titans commercials for the season and season tickets running on all of our televisions. They're looking to host home playoff games. They're looking for double-digit wins. They're looking for a fan base to be energized by the style of football that they play. When Vrabel's talking about if you enjoy yourself at a game, our hope is that maybe you bring a friend next time and all these things. We talked about how sellable they are last week. This is you're looking – this is the year – if there was ever going to be an expectation for double-digit wins, this would be the year, given that their whole identity is to run it back. All of their stuff after they tagged Derrick Henry was run it back. Okay, yeah. Well, each year that you have done this 9-7 thing, whatever it's looked like, playoff appearance or not, and in 2 of the last 3 years, it has been a credit to them. Okay, now is when you take the step and show me that you are to be trusted on a week-to-week basis in a way that even last year, through the first 6 weeks of football, we were not able to do. And it took you playing some of the historically unprecedented football for this franchise, 30 points a game in the last however many games that Tannehill started at the end of the year. I think he was 7-3 with that record as the season wore on. But this is the time when you show us that you can be relied upon on a week-to-week basis to handle teams that you consistently, even over the last 4 or 5 years, have played down to the level of competition to. That's the last, probably the greatest indictment of the Titans.
So you like the over on the 8.5, which I do too. I mean, if history tells you, I mean, they've gone 9-7 for 4 seasons. You know, if I'm going to throw my money at something, I would go on the over on that. But I think they're also better than that. Is there anything schedule-wise that sticks out to you that could give them trouble and could maybe create maybe like a negative path?
I mean, the Colts, the 2 Colts games in 17 days, one of them being a Thursday night football with an AFC game sandwiched in between there, that's not great for
an AFC game at Baltimore.
Yeah, an AFC game at Baltimore.
Yeah, that's the stretch Don keeps talking about.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it could very well be. People are discounting Houston in a way I think is unwise, given that they still have the best quarterback. And there has been an assumption of improvement in Indianapolis that I think is fair. I think the defense is faster. I think Phillip Rivers gives them more stability at quarterback, if not overwhelming improvement of talent at this stage in his career. But Indy is probably who you're going to be pushing for the division with. And to have that stretch, to have Baltimore sandwiched in between there, to know that Baltimore is going to emphasize that game in a way that feels, you know, that's honestly cool because it's reminiscent of old Titans-Ravens rivalry. It feels like it's coming back now that you've had this playoff experience with them and bested them in their house as the top seed in the AFC last postseason. Yeah, that stinks if you're the Titans, but everybody's got a stretch like that. And it's an NFL scheduling flub. They got the Buccaneers in a bad spot last year with a crazy amount of road games that they look like they just kind of cobbled the schedule together at the last minute. So we complain about these things every year when we look at the schedule, but in reality, that was going to be the toughest. That's going to be your toughest games either way because of what Indianapolis represents to you as a franchise.
Four of the first six are at home. Five of the last seven are on the road. I've talked about my concern over the schedule imbalance there. Do you have any reservations about that element to this schedule that it isn't more balanced in terms of home in a way?
No, because we talked about this a little last week, Brent, while you were out. They have ways of even quantifying how much more expected rest time the Titans are going to be able to get given how their schedule looks logistically, just from a miles traveled standpoint on a week-to-week basis. Not a ton of back-to-back road games, even as you're talking about that imbalance with their schedule from the first part of the season to the second half. I think given what they had to go through last year, even if it is skewed a little more, they understand how to manage it, and hopefully they'll have some positive experiences to take away and to implement to help that be a more smooth transition.
Well, one thing is for sure, they have to start faster
this coming season
than they did last season. You can't afford to have to win all of those games with 5 of 7 on the road at the end of this season. You have to make sure to take advantage of what you have early on.
Dawn got mad at us last week because we saw that they opened in Denver, and immediately I had like football PTSD, and Mickey's ribbing me over the fact that Denver was the greatest football atrocity ever played, and that is where they will open their season.
Yeah.
So if they come out and are dead on arrival like that, it's gonna make me very, very upset. I'm not supposed to get in my feels about the team that I cover, but that in Jacksonville in week three evoked emotions in me that are akin to self-harm, and I hope never to feel that way again.
Meanwhile, I grew up as a kid in Houston, an Oilers fan, so I don't hide from it. But you can be realistic while also digging the team. Quick note from Sportsline about that Denver game that you brought up. The Broncos have won and covered the spread in 5 of 6 meetings against the franchise in altitude since 1985. Not a positive stat there for the opener.
Before you were born, Buck.
Yes, it is. That's true.
When we come back, Logan Ryan is still open for business. Let's talk about the Titans secondary and what it looks like now with Logan gone and the addition of Christian Fulton and also Jonathan Joseph. We'll do that next. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
Ever Seal.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Get us anytime on Twitter at 3HL1045, on Facebook 3HL, on Instagram 3HL, at Don Davenport TN, at JT1045, at Brent Doherty on Twitter, at Mickey Ryan 1045, his last day of furlough. He'll be back on Monday, and I'll be out. Buck Rising with us now from A to Z Sports joins us every Friday to chop it up about the Titans, and we were talking about Big Jeff and how he's working toward being 100%. He moves into that Jarrell Casey role next year, and everything is going smoothly, according to all involved, for him. VLove1987 on Twitter. It moved when Buck Rising was talking about man-child Big Jeff Simmons consistently wrecking fellow stud Quentin Nelson on 3HL.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and see, this is the depths of my ignorance. I had to ask in the commercial break, hey, what moved?
I think my answer was he got excited when you were talking about Big Jeff wrecking
Well, listen, all I'm going to say to you is the Titans analysis from 2 to 3 o'clock every Friday on 3HL. It will, if you're not careful, will cause sexual arousal. It's the only thing that we can draw out of any of this at this point. And I'm glad to know that my man V-Love is having a high T day because we broke it down. Big Jeff versus Big Q in the Battle of the Trenches. That's an odd way to get a... to get you fired up on a Friday, but whatever works for you, baby. Let's go, V-Love.
Like a promo in the making right there.
Yeah, I really have nothing to add to that.
Excited on a Friday.
That's right. Logan Ryan is excited to get back to work. There were rumors all week about him signing with the Jets, signing a one-term deal with the Jets, a one-year deal with the Jets. He said that's not the case as of yet, said he's still open for business. I'm curious, as we talk about Logan Ryan's departure, obviously Christian Fulton, the rookie cornerback coming in. By the way, the Clemson-LSU game was replayed either last night or the night before. I don't remember when I watched things, but I had that on, and Christian Fulton all over the field. Veteran Jonathan Joseph also coming in with the loss of Logan Ryan. What does the secondary look like to you? How long does it take to get that cohesion that they need? Can they actually be better with these two additions and the one subtraction?
So the Logan thing's interesting because there's a lot that you just put in front of me, Brent. So I'm gonna take it chunk by chunk there. Logan and the Jets. It sounds like Benny and the Jets, like a bad 70s band. Logan Ryan. The news of him potentially getting a contract with the Jets, every time we look at this with any headline, and you guys have been doing this way longer than me, you know it better than anybody, the first thing that you look at when you see these headlines is who does this most benefit to have this information out there? And the person who most benefits from having that information out there is Logan Ryan. So when Logan Ryan goes out on Good Morning Football and says, listen, we're still open for business when they ask him about the Jets, that would indicate to me that Logan Ryan is still open for business because the Jets deal was not done for some reason. And there is still, you know, there's still not a great degree of certainty for where he's going to end up. It's a weird case of free agency. And I don't know, you know, we talk about this with Clowney and the Titans. You don't know how much Logan has budged off of his initial reported asking price of his previous year's salary, which was 10.6 and change. So I think that the Logan, there's still a lot more there to be done. I don't think it's necessarily a done deal that it's with the Jets. I think that's a little PR spin. Now, for their secondary without Logan Ryan, they needed to get faster. As Mike Vrabel talked about in the press conferences previously, it is a vertical position. It is less horizontal. Logan Ryan playing down in the box because of maybe you don't want to call it vertical limitations, but a lot of these guys were beating him in the open field. Like, this was somebody who helped you in a variety of different ways, but there were elements in his ability to cover that were taken advantage of. And this happens over time, and you understand how pieces work in a secondary, and that's not to diminish anything that Logan Ryan did, because it was his best career year, certainly from a statistical standpoint, but that's just how much more they were doing with him. To have Christian Fulton on the outside, to have Adoree Jackson on the outside, to be able to do more with Malcolm Butler than you have previously done as Malcolm ages, and you can use him more along the line of scrimmage and also rotate these three guys. They needed to get faster. They needed to get younger. Malcolm is going to be, I think he's already 30 at this point, and they're going to have to look for other alternatives there in the future. Jonathan Joseph is there really more as a steadying force, and hopefully someone who can help acclimate Christian Fulton to the learning of what it is the Titans do based on how much Vrabel values scheme knowledge previously and how much Anthony Midgett is going to contribute from that, both of these guys coming over from the Houston Texans. It helps. I can't argue that they're better because what Logan did was hugely impactful, and I don't know what Christian Fulton's going to look like until he gets out there.
Right.
But I can argue that for what they needed to do, they took the right steps. The money wasn't right for Logan Ryan.
we can't let you go without talking about Clowney at least a little bit. So the head coach was on Sirius XM NFL, and he was asked about Clowney, and he said, quote, "I have not talked to JD personally. I would say that John and I continue to evaluate the roster and the available free agents. As of now, I would say that nothing is off the table, but nothing is certainly on the table either. He is not on our team."
Well, it's just Mike getting tired of it at this point, and nothing's changed. There's a reason that we're waiting until the waning minutes of my time with you guys each week to talk about this, because there's nothing really to talk about. Seattle doesn't want to pay him what he seems to want. He seems to want to play for Seattle more than they actually want him. The Titans are lingering around, and there's been no movement because they're not going to get into a bidding war with themselves. So this dude is just kind of chilling. And Mike Vrabel on all these things. He actually handled it pretty well the first time that we asked him, but you could tell that the quantity of times that he has gotten this question is starting to wane on his patience.
We are going to talk about a story that Jim Trotter has. It just came down in the next segment. But since you're here, I wanted to get your quick take on this. Breaking, NFL owners will vote next week on a resolution that would improve a team's draft position if it hires a person of color as head coach or general manager, per sources. Currently, there are only two black GMs and four head coaches of color, matching a 17-year low. What do you think about it?
I think it stinks. I don't think that's what black coaches are looking for. And it would not be right of me at all to sit here and speak on behalf of black coaches, but they want meritocracy within the system. They don't want this to be something that's just forced into place and forced upon NFL organizations for the sake of optics. That's what this reeks of to me. The NFL can't figure out how to do the Rooney Rule better, and so now they're forcing it down people's throats in a way that's just going to make anything that wasn't already acrimonious about the issue. And there is an issue, without question. There's an issue with minority hiring in the NFL, but this is a forced fix for the sake of saying, hey, we've made something happen about this. This is not what the people who have been arguing on behalf of equality in hiring practices, this isn't what they're looking for.
There are, you could make a case that maybe Middle Eastern people could get head coaching opportunities or GM opportunities, or women, for example.
Sure. Robert Saleh with the 49ers is an Arab American coach who was looked at for opportunities and ultimately didn't get one. It's a relatability issue that ownership has with coaches, and they typically opt for the people they're more comfortable with, people whose backgrounds are similar to theirs. That's something that's ingrained over hundreds of years at this point. We're trying to slap a solution on it in a way that one of the issues that I got with the NFL, Dawn, it's about optics, all about optics.
I think it's a lazy attempt at fixing a problem by the NFL, and I'll hop into it on the other side, but I'm going lazy. Lazy attempt.
Well, this hour was not lazy. It's always fun, guys.
No,
it was not.
Good to have you.
And people can reach you on Twitter at Buck Rising, and they can check you out in a number of ways on social media throughout the course of the week.
Smash that follow button on Twitter for at A to Z Sports. That's where you get all of our great content. Appreciate you guys.
Buck Rising presented by BuddyAllenCarpet1.com. When we come back, we will talk about this. If you want in, 615-737-1045. Again, Jim Trotter with the story. NFL owners will vote next week on a resolution that would improve a team's draft position if it hires a person of color as head coach or general manager. 615-737-1045.
Worried about